Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a TV program that airs right after this on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and be with us at any opportunity that you might have. All we desire from you is to have you come and study God's Word with us, to worship Him, and let us help you understand your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Last week, we began a study of Christ speaking from the cross, and we're looking at the seven sayings of Christ as He hung upon the cross. Today, our second saying is found in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse number 39. Luke 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The words spoken by Christ at this occasion are words of hope. Last week we looked at the words of forgiveness as he asked that the sin might not be laid to their charge. But this prayer is for one of hope. He declared his deity as the Son of God, man dying on the cross. Christ demonstrated his power and authority and shows control for the destiny of one beyond the grave. The scribes taught that Christ's teaching was more authoritative than theirs, according to their own words in Matthew 7, 28 and 29. No man ever spoke like him. Those who tried came to arrest him but didn't, in John chapter 7, verse 45 and 46. And his words will determine our destiny, because we will be judged by them, John 12, 48. These words show that there's life beyond the grave, both dying, both in paradise. The soul lives beyond the grave. Hades, the Hadean world, and judgment, heaven and hell, are yet to come. In Luke 16, 22, the future, a look beyond the veil of that unseen world, is given to us by the teaching of Jesus in the parable of, or the story, I believe it's a real story, between Lazarus and the rich man. Abraham's bosom, not the body of paradise. The rich man was buried, but he lifted up his eyes in torment. Hades is the realm of the unseen, the world of dead, the place of embodied, unembodied spirits, conscious and aware of present and the past, place of torment, punishment, but it's not hell, comfort and faithful in the presence of one like Abraham, but it's not heaven yet. But we are comforted and we are at rest. We are waiting the judgment day, as we get a glimpse of that in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 34. Separation is made in the resurrection. The right and the left will be either on the sheep to the goats, will be the sheep on the right or the goats on the left. Weeping and out of darkness and gnashing of teeth and punishment will be for those on the left. And the body puts on immortality. We will live eternally forever in a different realm and in a different body. In Acts 2, verse 29 through 31, David's body was in the grave and his soul was in Hades. That was Peter's argument on the day of Pentecost. Christ never stayed in the Hadean realm. Why? Because he was resurrected on the third day. He raised and confirmed his deity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, we're told that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection of the dead. Reality of life after death, Jesus demonstrated that there was. I want you to notice in this text there's no purgatory. Nowhere is that ever taught in the Bible. Middle part, punishment limited, comforted after a little punishment. We get out like a place where we go for probation. Where is it taught? What's the scripture? What's the book, chapter, and verse? It's not there. We're just in limbo? That's not taught either. Babies who are not sprinkled eventually get to paradise, but they must first go to purgatory. Who heard of such a doctrine? They're not guilty of any sin. They're not guilty of anything, and so they're pure and innocent in the sight of God. Why was the thief not in purgatory? He had done vile things. Why was he not in Why was he not in purgatory instead of being with the Lord in paradise? Again, that teaching is not taught in God's word. The love of all souls. Why should our Lord be concerned with a thief? As he said, he was there because he had rightly done wrong. A malefactor, convicted criminal. Why even worry about him? He admitted that he deserved his fate. Luke 23:41, capital punishment. Why? Taking the evil away. Christ dying as an innocent man. Why bother with a thief? Why bother with one that was guilty of the crime and deserved what he was getting? I'll tell you why, because he loves the sinner. He knew he could pardon him. Did Christ decide to value the soul by the sin that we're guilty of? Absolutely not. All souls are valuable since all have sinned, according to Romans 3:23. And when it says he came to seek and save the lost, that means all are lost. So he came to seek us all. First, he offers forgiveness. Who were the first ones offered? We read that last week. Who were the first ones given the opportunity to get the forgiveness that's offered by the sacrifice of Christ? The very ones that murdered him. The thief of the cross, was he a Jew? He knew about God, didn't he? He was looking for the Messiah. He knew about the kingdom. Yet a thief was guilty of sin. Notice, he tells him to remember his kingdom. And he knew that he was innocent. How did he know those things? Jesus didn't tell him. How did he know about the kingdom? How did he know that Christ had a kingdom? How did he know that he was innocent? Ask yourself those questions. How did he know? That gives us, we might be able to make a necessary implication that somehow along the way he had heard the preaching of the kingdom. He might have even obeyed the preaching of John or some of his disciples or even the apostles. We're not told. He repented with godly sorrow. Why? Because he knew that he deserved to be there. He wasn't asking for mercy for his life. He knew that he deserved to be there. He had true godly sorrow. But that's the only kind of sorrow that brings about repentance, according to 2 Corinthians 7:8-10. It's God's love, his justice, and his wrath. It changed his heart. He understood that only God could grant him mercy. He confessed Christ's righteousness in verse 41. We're here because we deserve to be here. This man is innocent. He's done nothing wrong. He confessed Christ's righteousness. How did he know that? He recognized the authority of Christ in verse 42. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew he had a kingdom. He knew he had authority. How did he know that? Ask yourself, how did the thief know that? We're not told of anything that Christ told him while he hung there with him. He believed in the future life. Remember me in thy kingdom. He believed it. Why did he believe it? He had to come contact with that teaching somewhere. Can we be saved like the thief? I don't know how many people have given me the example of the thief of the cross and how they can be saved. Well, the truth is, on the cross again, that's where the thief was. Only one cross of sacrifice, not another. Saved like the Jew under the old law? No, we can't be saved like the Jew. Why? Because that law was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14. That law was old and it was waxing old and it was decaying. Hebrews 8:13. In Hebrews 9:13-15, the thief lived under the animal sacrifices. Christ, in the process of dying, not in force yet. He still lived under the old law. Why? Because the old law was still in effect until he drew his last breath. The blood of animals was under the old. The blood of Christ is under the new. The death of the testator must be first. Hebrews 9:10. The first can't be done away with and the second brought in until the testator dies. When he talked to the thief, he was still alive. Therefore, the new will and the new law, the law that governs us, the law of Christ, the law that includes baptism, was not yet in force. And so the thief lived under the old law. In Colossians 2:14-17, after sin, there is no covering for sin. The old law was looking for the perfect sacrifice. The new law is enforced when it was nailed to the cross. In Galatians 5:2-4, circumcision availeth nothing. Why? Because it's part of the old law. It's part of the law that was nailed to the cross. Saved without baptism? Nobody knows that the thief was baptized with John's baptism. Nobody knows that. I couldn't make the argument he was, and you couldn't make it that he wasn't. The disciples baptized more than John's disciples and Jesus' disciples baptized more than John did, remember? And he was preaching the kingdom. That was what his message was. That was the message of Christ. Where did he receive it? How did he know? You got to answer that. The thief died after the kingdom was established. The kingdom wasn't established until the coming of Christ and the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was first preached by the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And so they dispersed the blessings as they saw fit. Can we question our Lord's method? Authority. Authority resides in the gospel age by baptism. That gives us in contact with the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross. The basic principle of truth saved the thief on the cross. He maintained his faith. He had godly sorrow. He confessed Christ. He recognized his power and authority as Savior and King. Remember the time the thief lived under. Are we going to prove our position by a thief on the cross? We don't live under the old law. And there's one other main important point that we have to point out. In Matthew 9 and verse 6, we are told by Jesus himself that he had power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus could look into the heart of the thief. He knew if he had genuine repentance. He knew if he had godly sorrow. He could look into a man's heart and know that. You and I cannot. Therefore, he had the ability to forgive sins on earth. Why? Because he was God. We're not God, and we're not hanging on a cross, and the Lord's not speaking to us. We can't be saved like the thief because those conditions cannot be duplicated today. Our Lord is not here. He's in heaven, reigning and ruling in his kingdom, on his throne. And we gain forgiveness of sin through the blood that he shed, and that blood is contacted through the waters of baptism, according to passages like Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and 1 Peter 3, verse 21. We beg you to read them. And so man can't be saved like the thief. He's a poor illustration of how man can be saved, but he is an illustration of hope. Christ's words to this thief surely offered him hope, hope of life beyond the grave, hope that all souls are precious to God, and God loves the souls of all men, no matter what sin they may have committed. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise, but his desire is for all men to come to repentance. Hope for the resurrection on that fateful day. Hope for eternal life with God. That's what was presented to the thief on the cross. We, more than anyone else, should understand the hope that we enjoy today because of his death on the cross. Christ saw the cross as a giving of hope to man that he was so needful of. Do you have the hope for yourself today? Do you have that kind of hope in your life? Have you taken the opportunity to come to the cross, to come to the blood that was shed upon the cross, and apply it to your sin-stained soul, that you too might have hope beyond this life? Understand, the words to the thief was giving him hope. Yes, he was dying for his sin. Yes, he was dying for the wrong that he had done. Yes, the government was justified in taking his life, but there could be yet a benefit. He could still save his soul. And when he confessed Christ and when he asked him to be remembered, Christ could look into his heart, saw genuine forgiveness, saw godly sorrow, saw that he was certainly looking for the kingdom, and he granted his request. Why? Because he is God. Man cannot be saved like the thief today because God is not on earth today. And so therefore, these words of the thief on the cross gave man hope. Men, and ladies and gentlemen, do not give yourself false hope that you can be saved like the thief because you don't live under the law that he lived under, and Jesus Christ is not personally here to be able to look in your heart and to know that you genuinely have truly repented and that you're a recipient of the great gift of life. The words of the thief on the cross give hope. They were words uttered by our Lord on the cross when he promised to put him in paradise. Have a good day.